Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. And we begin this study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, titled Antiochus, Antichrist, and the Holy Covenant, as we do a careful verse-by-verse study of Daniel 11, which finds its fulfillment in the past, although this prophecy was given 300 years before it was fulfilled, in the life of Antiochus Epiphanes. Then we also see the type and fulfillment, what we would call a dual fulfillment, in the coming Antichrist during the 70th week of Daniel. So this is a very important Bible prophecy study, but it is also important to see the infallibility of the Word of God and the veracity of these prophecies given to the prophet Daniel and given to us in his book titled with his name. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send those letters by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin this study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, titled Antiochus, Antichrist, and the Holy Covenant. This is part one of two. So we pick back up here in Daniel chapter 11, and ironically, that really is kind of a segue into what we're talking about, because what we're talking about here in Daniel 11 is prophecy, words, information. God gave us the future. Now, he didn't tell us every little detail. That would be impossible. But he gave us this for a purpose. The Bible says he gives us this information so that when we see prophecy being fulfilled, we know he is God. And we left off in verse 26 with the information that was fulfilled really just a couple of hundred years later by Antiochus. But we've been seeing how it's also in Antiochus a type of the Antichrist. So as you see things being fulfilled by Antiochus, Epiphanes the Fourth, back in the 2nd century BC, it's a type of the Antichrist, and things that is going to be fulfilled by the Antichrist yet to come. You say, how do you know that? Well, some of it is repeated in the New Testament as being about the Antichrist. So we know that's true. We know that remains. But I believe that in most details of this prophecy, you're seeing things that are going to be repeated by the Antichrist. Now, here's why you look around. We got some empty seats. And churches that teach the Bible the way we do aren't the biggest churches in town as far as congregation and everything. Because, people like to go to churches where they'll hear what they want to hear. I'm here to tell you tonight, you're going to hear what you need to hear. You need the Bible to be taught to you in such a way, and I try to remind everybody of this. Charlie and I were talking Sunday, you know, as we were talking, I said, yeah, I could have gone into this and this and that. We have to move on. And I go about as slow as I think I can without spinning wheels. And you don't want to spin your wheels. But at the same time, we don't want to just hop and skip and jump our way through it. And so every Bible study, my goal is to preach the Word and let that be kind of an introduction to you so that when you study your Bible, you read your Bible, you will continue to learn building on what you receive here. This is not the end. This is supposed to be the beginning to help you in your Bible study at home. And we won't pack them in like that because we're not going to preach what people want to hear. We're going to preach what they need to hear. We continue to see Antichrist fulfill the Antiochus prophecy, and what I mean by that is in type. As I just said, we'll see things in Antiochus, and a lot of times you can go right to the New Testament and see where it says that Antichrist is going to do that very thing. It's an amazing thing. So we start with a prophecy that few people think of. You bring up the subject of the Antichrist and what's about to happen in Daniel's 70th week. And that's the fact that along the way, he doesn't just lose at the end. He loses twice. There's going to be two big losses, and the last one will be the final blow. So let's start there in Daniel 11, verse 26. If you're there, read that with me. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. Now, the two kings being talked about here are Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth that I mentioned, who is a type of the Antichrist, and Ptolemy Philometor, who was the one whose army was destroyed in this text. But remember, we talked about this last week, but we have to remind you of this. Types are not exact. Some people, and when I say types, it's basically a picture of something else. The Bible also talks about shadows, foreshadowing. In our Exodus studies, we do office studies as well as these meetings, and we're in the book of Exodus. And we're doing, we're in Exodus chapter 12 in the Passover. That Passover lamb was to be a spotless lamb. A virgin lamb, spotless, and was to be examined to make sure that the lamb was spotless. And then that lamb's blood was to be shed. And if you put the blood on your doorpost when the death angel came during the 10th plague, if he saw the blood, he passed over your house. If he did not see the blood, then the firstborn died. That was a type fulfilled by Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He shed his blood. He fulfilled that type because he was sinless. He was a virgin. He never married, contrary to what you hear in the Dan Brown novels and the Mormons and others say. He never married. I guess there's some others who say, try to claim he was married to Mary Magdalene and then went to India and all this crazy stuff. Not true. He died and he paid the price necessary for your sins, just like the blood protected that house. Jesus' blood protects you from the judgment of God, and you become the temple of God if you believe on Him. Well, that's the way this works. And they're not, like I said, they're not exact. For example, Jesus could talk. The lamb couldn't talk. See? It's not exact. The lamb had hair white like wool. Well, Jesus, when He came to die, didn't. He will in His glorified state. So you see, the types aren't exact. You have to be real careful with that. There's some people who throw the baby out with the bathwater because they'll say, well, that's not exactly fitting. Well, types aren't supposed to exactly fit. And what they should do, though, is be confirmed by the rest of Scripture. And this reference here to him being destroyed, I believe, likely coincides with the deadly wound suffered by Antichrist close to the midpoint of the 70th week of tribulation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 13 if you have your Bible open. Revelation 13 and verse 10, and you want to keep your finger there. We'll come back to Revelation 13 one more time later in the study. But Revelation 13, you might want to remember that. You know, 13 is superstitious. People think it is a bad luck number. They even build buildings and they don't call a floor the 13th floor. And hotels, they don't have 13 floors because they're afraid, you know, people won't want to rent those places because Friday the 13th, you know. What was that, Jason in the movies, you know, you kill people not. Well, it's a, what they call that, a name association thing where if you think of 13 supposed to be this black evil thing, Well, it's fitting that Revelation 13 is all about the Antichrist. So it'll be easy to remember where you want to go if someone asks you questions about the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the deadly wound, and the mark of the beast. Revelation 13. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Now watch this. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Remember that phrase. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast. This is the false prophet, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. How many of you have heard that the false prophet comes ahead of the Antichrist, and he's like John the Baptist? Nonsense. Tells you right there, he comes after. But what he does do is he comes along at this time that we're going to see this deadly wound. It says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. See there? The Antichrist comes before the false prophet. Amen? Okay, just make sure we're all on the same page. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Read that, rest of that with me. Whose deadly wound was healed. See? The Antichrist, the first beast, is going to suffer a deadly wound. And it is going to be healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a... what? What did it say in verse 10? He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here in verse 14, it says, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, we'll stop there, but keep your finger there in Revelation 13, where we'll come back there. But I just have to say a couple of things, or one thing in particular. And that is, some people question whether this is a resurrection. I personally believe it is.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, well, there's no way, only Jesus could be resurrected. Well, no, that's not true. I mean, people were resurrected in the Old and New Testaments. It doesn't say, it's not a resurrection like our resurrection at the rapture, where people have been dead for thousands of years and then they're raised. But this is a resurrection of someone who's dead and he's brought back to life. And some have real difficulty accepting this, but it's not because the text doesn't clearly say it was deadly. If it's a deadly wound, if someone has a fatal blow, that's what that deadly wound means, a fatal wound, then that means it kills him. But he still lives. Well, that, I might suggest, might cause people to worship him. He's called Antichrist for a reason. The real Christ resurrected. I'm only here for one reason, folks. I'm only here for one reason. Because Jesus is alive. If Jesus was still dead, I'm not sure what I'd be doing, but I wouldn't be here. I'd have no reason to be here. This is going to be Antichrist 2.0. The deadly wound is healed, but he'll lose again in the end. Amen?
Amen.
We'll see. We saw in our studies of Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Throw this in free of charge too. Constantly hear people say that the Gog-Magog war at the end of the millennium is the same as Ezekiel 38 and 39. And they'll say that Gog is the Antichrist. They can't be, because in that war, Gog is slain on the mountains. Go back and read it. the Antichrist is going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. So, Antichrist is a what?
Counterfeit
Christ. See, a lot of people, and it's not wrong totally, but they always think of Antichrist meaning he's against Christ. But the anti is a prefix that means also in place of, counterfeit. And that's why I believe he's going to do real miracles. And I believe he's going to receive a deadly wound. And he's going to be raised. And people are going to worship him. Back to Daniel 11 then, it continues in verse 27 and says, "And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief." Sounds like the Democratic Party right now. I was watching the thing of the Democratic Party right now, and it is amazing. You got a bunch of people, and this is above politics. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about people who are backstabbing each other and destroying their own cause. It's just amazing to watch. And if you're a Democrat, it has to be kind of sickening. And Republicans have gone through it for years. And really, Trump was elected in spite of the fact that Republicans were doing that to each other. The convention, there were all kinds of forces trying to keep Trump from being nominated. Politics is so ugly. It's just an ugly business. But that's what this is about right here. So, preacher, you shouldn't bring up politics. Yes, I should.
Amen.
I'm talking about politics in verse 27.
Amen.
And if you want to learn real life and what, you know, the human being is capable of, study politics.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing here in verse 27. "And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief." So their hearts are wrong. And look what it says, "And they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed." And of course, that reminds us of every peace conference Yasser Arafat ever took part in. He came to the table and he would be on one side and the Jews would, or the nation of Israel would have their spokesperson on the other side. And I'll be honest, I support Israel. Amen? But they lied a lot. You know why? Because they knew they were dealing with a liar.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you want to see some crafty lies, read the history of Massah. Why did they do that? Well, it's kind of the same reason Ruth did it. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, the same thing.
Amen.
So, the Antichrist lies, and so do his enemies. Look back at Revelation 13. It's interesting. Go back up toward the beginning of the chapter, verse 4. By the way, verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to" what?
Death.
And his what wound? Deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 4, "And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Verse 5, read that with me. "And they were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, 42 months, that's 3.5 years. That's why I said I think that deadly wound's right about the midpoint. Verse 6, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." I think that the blasphemy is he's going to lie. He's going to speak lies about God. Well, he's going to claim to be the Christ. He's going to let people worship him as God. That's the biggest lie you can tell. That's why Satan created an entire movement called the New Age movement with a bunch of goofballs running around saying, "I am God." Just like Lucifer.
Yeah.
Yeah. People by the millions got involved in that. You go back and watch TV in the 80s. Jenny and I watched a couple shows like Matlock and Columbo and Some of those back in, they were filmed, if they were recorded in the 80s and early 90s, man, it was new age stuff all through there. Why? Because that was the culture. And it still is, but it's just not as new age as it is. It's become almost mainstream. And so things are just part of everybody's life. You know, you talk to relatives and people and you say, oh, you're going on a trip next week? Well, I was going to, but I canceled it when I got my reading at the psychic. Or I checked out my horoscope and, you know, it had to, you know. And people talk about it like it's Jim Ganahl giving the weather. And thankfully, Jim Ganahl is much more accurate. Yeah. It's something you got to think about. Antichrist is the son of Satan. Jesus, son of God. Antichrist, the son of Satan. Revelation 13:3. That's not the right. It's John 8:44. Didn't change the reference there. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's the nature of the Antichrist. Back in Daniel 11, verse 27, it says again, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Now this is a wonderful truth. It's not over until God says it's over. God is in control of the appointments. You aren't going to die until God says, okay, you're dead. That might explain why you see some people blown up and shot up and everything. I saw a cop that was shot something like 20-some times, survived. Then you find another guy, he gets shot one time in the leg and it hits that main artery and he bleeds out. You know, how do you explain that? Well, all you can do is trust that God's in control, and when your time comes, your time comes. The dispensation of law ended with the first coming of Christ at God's appointed time. Amen? Jesus didn't just show up. I mean, it was right on time. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Right in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 4. And we have a good study on this in our Galatians series. Beginning verse 2 is talking about how that the law served as a tutor preparing God's people for Jesus, the Messiah. It says in verse 2, but is it under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Say that with me. The time appointed of the Father. See? So when Jesus showed up, it was right on time. Verse 3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Read verse 4 with me. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He showed up right on time. He's going to show up right on time the second time as well. But so is Antichrist. And this time, the Holy Covenant is ended by the Antichrist coming at His appointed time. See, when Jesus came the first time, He came and fulfilled the law. He is a fulfillment of the law. He's basically the law incarnate. He kept the law perfectly, without sin. That's why He was able to die for your sins. He didn't need payment for sins. He was the infinite God in human flesh. Therefore, He was qualified and able to pay for the sins of the whole world. So verse 28 continues and says, or at least within that verse, look at these words, His heart shall be against the holy covenant. You see, Antiochus wanted to destroy the temple worship and the entire Mosaic system. And the story talks about him going in and sacrificing a pig in the temple.
Wasn't Antiochus the one who had stuff with
Yes, the Maccabees in the Apocrypha tell about this stuff, yeah. It's a fallible but historical account. So it's worth reading as long as you don't think it's part of the Bible. And he turned against Israel and the Mosaic Law. They followed. And of course, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. Why? How's he going to do that? Because right now in Israel, there is no Mosaic Law. They follow the Sabbath and some other things. But they don't have a temple. They don't have a priesthood. They don't have a sacrifice. That's one of many reasons right here why we believe there's going to be a temple rebuilt. That's why the Temple Mount faithful in Israel right now have rebuilt most all of the furniture. And according to some claims, they have the temple ready because just like Solomon, they built the temple off-site and then went to the site and put it together without using hammers or anything. And they claim that they're doing that now.
Mark so that said that in the 80s, the thing that they were already creating instruments that the priests.
Yeah, they already have the instruments. But in addition to that, they're saying they have the building ready so that they can just go up on the Temple Mount and put it together just the way Solomon did. Yeah, they have that too. Yeah. Well, they definitely have it now. I can't remember the exact time when they got it ready. But that Holy Covenant, remember we saw that back in Daniel 9. And Daniel defined that covenant. Turn back a couple pages to Daniel 9 just so we can see this. And it's important because, especially contemporary prophecy teachers, they just say that there's going to be a peace treaty. Like what you saw with Yasser Arafat and that sort of thing. It's not. It's actually the covenant that we'll see is the Mosaic Covenant, which includes the terms of the Abrahamic Covenant. We'll talk about it in just a second. Verse 27, it says at the beginning there at that verse, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." See, there's the emphatic article, the, not a covenant. Not just a peace treaty. It's the covenant. Now look at verse 4. It defines what this covenant is by the fact that Daniel is living under the Mosaic Covenant. And he says in verse 4, before even being given the prophecy, says, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant." Not a covenant, the covenant. "And mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His" what? Commandments. Exodus 20 gives the Ten Commandments. So, it's not guesswork as to what this Holy Covenant is. The Mosaic Covenant included the Abrahamic Covenant. If you go back and just do a search, if you got a computer or whatever, type in the words, "the land." In my search, I use Sword Searcher, and I can put quotation marks and put "the land" and do a search, and it'll bring it up. And I think it's 149 times in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that this promise of the land to Abraham is either repeated or referred to. Because it's part of the Mosaic Covenant. And here's the way you can think of it. It's sort of, but not exactly, but sort of like the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Most Americans are totally unaware of what I'm about to tell you. Sadly. But we have a Constitution, we have a Bill of Rights. The Constitution was ratified June 21st, 1788. At that time, there was no Bill of Rights. And some of the founders refused to sign on because of that fact. But some others, and enough others, signed on to ratify the Constitution because they were given an agreement, given their word, that there would then later be a Bill of Rights. But that Bill of Rights...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.